Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Afcons Infrastructure Q3 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Investec Capital Services India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vinit Prasad from Investec Capital Services Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Muskan. Good afternoon, everyone. A warm welcome on behalf of Investec India to Q3 FY25 earnings call of Afcons Infrastructure Limited. Today, we have with us the senior management team represented by Mr. Subramaniam Krishnamurthy, Executive Vice Chairman, Mr. Paramasivan Srinivasan, Managing Director, Mr. Ramesh Kumar Jha, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Hitesh Singh, Head Corporate Strategy. Now, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Subramaniam, sir, Executive Vice Chairman, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I am pleased to welcome all of you to the Q3 of FY25 earnings conference call of Afcons Infrastructure Limited. Our financial results and investor presentations have been uploaded on the exchanges, and I hope you had a chance to review them. Joining me today, Mr. Paramasivan Srinivasan, Managing Director, Ramesh Jha, Chief Financial Officer, and Hitesh Singh, Head Corporate Strategy. Let me start by giving you all of you some business updates. Afcons' total income was 3,332 crores in Q3 of FY25 as compared to 3,182 crores in Q3 of FY24. For 9 months of FY25, the corresponding figure stood at 9,635 crores compared to 9,837 crores in 9 months of FY24. Let me turn to our profitability metrics. In Q3 of FY25, our EBITDA stood at 448 crores, making a 14.1% year-on-year increase compared to 393 crores in Q3 of FY24. EBITDA margins expanded by 111 basis points to 13.5% during the quarter. For the 9-month period, EBITDA reached 1247 crores, growing 13.3% year-on-year while maintaining a healthy margin of 12.9%. Moving to PAT, we delivered a 35.7% surge in Q3 of FY25, with profit rising to 149 crores from 110 crores in the same period last year. This translates to a PAT margin of 4.5%, up from 3.4% in quarter 3 of FY24, reflecting improved cost management and higher profitability. Cumulatively, for 9 months of FY25, PAT grew 23.3% to 376 crores, reinforcing our ability to sustain momentum even in the competitive environment. I am happy to share with you that CRISIL ratings have assigned AA- with a stable outlook for long term and A1 plus with a stable outlook for short term ratings to the bank loan facilities and commercial paper program of Afcons Infrastructure Limited. This is an upgrade from the earlier rating of A plus for long term and A1 for short term. The rating reflects the strong business profile of Afcons, demonstrated by its established track record and ability to execute complex infrastructure engineering projects in India and overseas. Additionally, Afcons has been included in the MSCI India Domestic Small Cap Index Fund, Small Cap Index, which will be effective from 28th February 2025. Speaking about infrastructure sector updates and growth prospects, we see strong continued growth in the infrastructure construction space, evident from government's clear vision of becoming a developed nation by 2047. As highlighted in the recent economic survey, India must sustain an annual growth rate of 8% over the for at least a decade to attain developed nation status by 2047. Also, as aptly mentioned, infrastructure is a key enabler of this goal, with significant scope available for improving multimodal connectivity, public transport, and disaster resilience in urban areas. Infrastructure development, particularly in the segments we operate, are key to achieving this growth. Various policy initiatives by the government will ensure efficiency in the government's infrastructure investments. Strategically, we continue to leverage our expertise in delivering large large-scale complex infrastructure projects across India and globally. Our unique ability to execute projects across diverse infrastructure segments, be it is marine, industrial, metro, underground or elevated, bridges, highways, tunneling or hydro, sets us apart in the industry. Over the decades, Arpans has demonstrated the ability to successfully deliver across all major infrastructure verticals. This makes us a formidable and a differentiated player in the Indian infrastructure space. We are also continuing to build on our core strengths, which we have developed over time, such as knowledge management, risk management, and operational excellence through innovation. Our commitment to these areas has been recognized through multiple prestigious awards, most recent being Most Innovative Knowledge Enterprise MIKE Award of 2024, recognized for the 7th consecutive year at both global and India level, reinforcing our leadership in knowledge management. IEI Excellence Industry Excellence Platinum Award 2024. This is our 4th consecutive year of recognition for innovation and operational excellence in construction. We remain committed to investing in technological advancements, digitization, cutting-edge engineering capabilities to improve efficiency, execution timelines, and overall project delivery. In conclusion, Arpans Infrastructure remains dedicated to creating value for our stakeholders, customers, and all our shareholders. Thank you for your support and trust. I will now hand over the call to our Managing Director, Mr. Paramasivam Srinivasan, to offer a deeper understanding on developing on the development and our future path. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Subramanian. Good afternoon, everybody. It's my pleasure to welcome you all to Arpans Q325 earnings call. We appreciate your continued interest and in support in our journey. I'll just give a broader business landscape, business requirements, and important updates. In the recent budget, despite significant measures to boost consumption and the associated pressures on fiscal consolidation, which is an excellent step taken on the fiscal consolidation, the government has allocated 11.2 lakh crore for capital expenditure, a 10.1% increase over the revised estimate of the last year. This underscores the commitment, the continued commitment of the government to infrastructure development, which is once again reiterated by FM's statement yesterday. It will be a middle-class focus and an infrastructure-focused approach towards reaching Viksit Bharat by 2047. The government's alignment with this perspective is evident in the healthy allocation for roads, railways and metro projects and special push through state governments. This will be very significant in many states of 1.5 lakh crore 50-year interest-free loan that I think many states can use to raise resources using this fund. Further using the resources, that will go a long way in terms of infrastructure development. And national monetization plan, the phase one has been hugely successful. Hardly 20,000 crore is a shortfall in the phase one. And in the phase two now, whatever is announced, I am pretty sure with a 3-year pipeline that is made, will go, the national monetization pipeline will go a long way in terms of improving the finances. And there is a revised PPP model being attempted, and there is a 3-year, along with a 3-year project pipeline and all. That I think will be a work in progress as we look at it in this thing. The PPP in India, PPP has moved to HAM, and again moving back to PPP, how it is going to work, we need to see. And the government has announced the establishment of export promotion mission, which is very positive. This is something which I must say government has acted based on feedback by many exporters as to some of the areas of improvement required. And also government's own push to see that top Indian companies become top global players as well. So from that angle, they created an export promotion mission to address non-tariff barriers, facilitate credit access, and provide other forms of support to enhance exports. This initiative is also expected to focus on project exports, including those funded by the government. And as I conveyed earlier, the government is developing a strategy to elevate select Indian project exporters to compete with global peers. And ASCOMS, along with other leading project exporters, has engaged with key ministries and also with NITI Aayog to advocate for supportive policies in this regard and the initiatives required in this regard. If implemented, these recommendations could drive a substantial expansion in India's project export footprint. Overall, the government's continued focus on infrastructure development will provide a strong impetus to this sector. This positions large, diversified EPC contractors such as ASCOMS to capitalize on emerging opportunities and contribute meaningfully to the nation's infrastructure development. And internationally, with the export mission and also our continued focus with some strong private clientele like ArcelorMittal, gives us better revenue visibility. The LOC project by Government of India has seen a slowdown from exim time. And however, there are select geographies, as we have been mentioning, wherein there is a good visibility in terms of wherein the competition is restricted to some European players, Turkish Indian players like that, and Eastern Europe and some of these countries. And also, as indicated as a part of our strategy, bigger projects in Middle East with local partners, that is also taking shape from the futuristic angle. In terms of business development, ASCOMS continues to strengthen its position, and as of 31st December, we have a 38,000 crores of pending order, and which excludes about 10,662 crores of L1, and 14,603 crores is the amount of orders we have booked in the first 9 months. And in the first month of the current financial year, now before the first 45 days, we have already received 1,283 crores from DP World. And with that, our order book is almost at 16,000 crores as of now. With the 10,662 crores further L1, I think we are slated to achieve about 30,000 plus in the current year, with some more tenders expected to be opened shortly. With this, we would say we would have reached the highest ever order book in terms of for the year. And at the end of the year, we will be somewhere between 45,000 to 50,000 crores order book, giving us more than 3x visibility for the future period. And this will clearly give revenue visibility for the next couple of years. And as we conveyed earlier, while the current year we expect ourselves to be the flat or marginally higher growth, next year we expect 20 to 25% growth from that of current year, more towards 25%. That is what we are looking at. And ASCOMS continues to set the benchmarks in the infrastructure sector with notable achievements and the industry outlook. As per latest Engineering News Record 2024 ranking of USA, we are ranked 139th in the top 250 international contractor list, reaffirming our global presence. In terms of marine, we are rated as the 14th largest. In bridges, we are the 12th largest. In transportation, 45th largest. In aquatics, 12th largest. And in water supply, 38th largest. In marine, we are the highest ranked Indian contractor. In bridges, we are the only Indian contractor within the top 25. In transportation, we are the only Indian contractor within the top 50. And these are very, very happy tidings in our international presence. And our Delhi-Meerut rapid rail project is inaugurated by our Honorable CM. Of course, it's not entirely our stretch. Partly our stretch is also included over there. And we have won several awards, ET Infra Leadership Award for our Calcutta Metro and Maharashtra Samruddhi Package 14 Excellence in Transportation Infrastructure. National Safety Council has awarded 5-star rating and the shield for our Liberian project. So unwavering commitment to innovation, execution excellence and safety is continued to be given, accredited by various agencies. This reinforces Afcons' position as a leader in delivering world-class infrastructure. In conclusion, Afcons remains strongly positioned to capitalize on emerging opportunities in the infrastructure sector with a robust order book. We are confident with a robust order book, a strategic approach to business development and a strong track record. We are confident on delivering sustained growth and value for our stakeholders. Thank you all once again. While I conclude my remarks, hand over to our CFO for providing review of the financial results.
Good afternoon, everyone. Before I get into the numbers, first I'll just talk about the rating upgrade we have got done. We are very happy to inform you that we have got our credit rating upgraded to AA- for long term and A1 plus, which is the highest rating for short term, from CRISIL. Moving into AA category will open up the money market instruments like CP, NCDs to us, and this will give us a lot of interest saving arbitrage opportunity. This would also help us bring down the interest rate going forward. Now, on the numbers, we have talked about last time also, I would just like to reiterate, the company is into the business of construction. The margin in a quarter varies based on the nature, type and quantum of work we execute. So quarterly results may vary in different quarters and may not be indicative of annual results or trend. Now, moving to specific numbers, during Q3, we have done a top line of 3,332 crores as compared to Q3 in the previous year, 3,182 crores. And the previous quarter, Q2 25, we have done 3,090 crores. And if you look at the top line number for 9 months, we have done 9,635 crores as compared to previous year 9 months, 9,837 crores. Now, during this quarter, we had a growth of around 5% year on year and around 8% quarter on quarter. Because of the acceleration in the turnover during Q3, this has narrowed the YOY gap to 2% in 9 months from the previous 9 month period. Because in Q2, we were 5% down from the previous year number. Since there is an increased pace of execution now we are seeing in recent months, so as things stand, we should close the year on a similar top line or a nominal growth for this financial year. As far as the revenue guidance is concerned, this year we are looking at a flat growth or maybe a nominal growth. This is because of our muted order booking in last 2 years, which we had talked about earlier. But since this year, we have already backed close to 26,000-27,000 crores of orders, including the projects where we are L1, which we are quite hopeful that we should be getting very shortly. All these projects will mature for construction in next financial year, wherein we are looking at a growth of 20-25%, more towards the upper trajectory. On a medium to long-term horizon, we would like to sustain our CAGR, which we have achieved over a longer period of time, last 10 years. So we should be around those numbers, which is around 15%. Now, moving to EBITDA, during this quarter, we have done 448 crores of EBITDA. As against Q3 24, we have done 393 crores. So in terms of percentage, this quarter we have done 13.5%. And this is up by 111 basis points from the previous year. In the 9 month period, we have done 1247 crores of total EBITDA, which is 12.9%. And this again is up 175 basis points from the previous year, wherein we had clocked 11.2%. Now in EBITDA, I'd just like to clarify that in our EBITDA calculation, we have considered BG commission as part of our operating expenditure. So EBITDA that we are talking about is after removal of BG commission as an operating expenditure. Whereas we understand that the street considers BG commission as part of interest or finance cost. Hence, if you consider that way, then the EBITDA will increase to the extent of 125 crores, which we have excluded. Also, in our EBITDA calculation, we have included other income as part of revenue. Here we have explained earlier also that our other income needs to be understood in the perspective of our business, arbitration interest, foreign currency exchange gain, and miscellaneous incomes are recurring and very integral to our business. Hence, this needs to be considered as other operating income. So for the 9-month period, the 311 crores of other income we have considered as operating income while calculating the EBITDA. So these EBITDA percentage, what we have achieved for the 9 months, 12.9% for this financial year up till the 9 months. This year, as things stand, we expect the number to be higher than what we have been given a guidance. We have always talked about that we are going to maintain our EBITDA 11% plus. Reason being, we are maintaining this, that construction is full of contingencies. Our endeavor will be to save on those contingencies or optimize it. But many a times, we may not be able to save those contingencies. Hence, our guidance will remain at around 11%. Now, moving to profit after tax. I again reiterate that this financial year, we will be having an elevated EBITDA margin since we have already achieved 12.9%. Moving to profit after tax, we have done for this quarter 149 crores as against 110 crores we have done last Q3 last year. This again is 102 basis points up in terms of percentage points. For the 9-month period, we have done 376 crores of profit after tax. This is 3.9% of the top line of the total income. This again is 80 basis points up than the last year number. In finance cost, we have seen the kind of optimization we were expecting. So there is a saving in interest cost because of the IPO proceeds we used towards debt repayment, but this got negated because of change in mix of interest-free versus interest-bearing advances. Usually, in the total portfolio of advances we were having, 75% used to be interest-free and 20 to 25% used to be interest-bearing advances. But this time around, the projects we have bagged, we are seeing 70 to 75% projects are interest-bearing. So that's where we have saved on the bank interest, but interest from client advances have increased. So that's where we are not seeing any benefit on the interest cost front. But the projects have been tendered in such a way that these aspects have been factored in the project, so our margins are going to remain intact. We have also continued to account for accelerated depreciation on our TBM. Of the total 367 crores of depreciation, around one third is on account of accelerated depreciation in that. So the trend continues. Now moving on, the return ratios for the 9-month period, we have clocked a ROCE of around 16.6% and the ROE of around 12%. So here again, I would like to clarify that the capital infusion has increased the capital base, but operations are yet to elevate. Hence, returns in short term are showing some dip. Right indicator for the return ratios are annual numbers. Even though we have clocked in excess of 16% ROCE and around 12% ROE, if we factor in the accelerated depreciation, our ROE will be, at a very high level. Also, these returns need not be looked into isolation. This needs to be looked in the perspective that it is over and above the impact our projects are creating on the society. Moving to the debt, we have closed the 9-month period. Debt has come down to the level of 2,692 crores on gross basis, and on the net basis it is around 1,788 crores. On the net basis, the debt equity is working out around 0.35 times of the net worth. Order book we have already talked about. So on behalf of Axons Infrastructure Limited, I thank everyone for attending this call. Now I request moderator to open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Zainam Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So sir, my first question was, what is the order inflow guidance for FY26?
FY26 order inflow guidance is 25,000 crores.
5,000 crores. Okay, sir. And how are we seeing the order pipeline currently? Like, what is the order pipeline?
What is the
order
pipeline? Order pipeline, you are saying.
Yeah, so the prospective, as you understand, our projects are long gestation projects. So our order pipeline, we generally monitor on a rolling basis of around 2 years. So currently, we have a visibility of around 3.46 lakh crores of orders. And they are spread across the segments where we are visible. As rightly so, the largest visibility we have in urban infrastructure, which is close to 1 lakh crore. Surface transport, which is our road and rail business, there also we expect a good number of orders to come. Around 90,000 crores is the visibility in that area. Hydro underground, which includes dams, pump storage schemes, tunnels, that is around 80,000 crores. And marine is around 60,000 crores. So that is the visibility we have for the next 2 years.
Okay. And so what is the project value for which we have bidded currently, like for the tenders which are yet to be open and we have bidded for?
But on a rolling basis, around 40 to 45,000 crores of tenders are being bid by the company across verticals. And that it keeps on, I mean, some projects get, we won, some projects we lose, but around 40 to 45,000 crores is on a continuous basis.
Okay. Sir, in detail of projects, we are expecting the tenders based projects coming months, you know, in terms of metro or urban infra projects.
Sorry, your voice was not clear. Can you please repeat the question?
Are there any major projects which we are expecting the tenders to be floated in the coming months, in which we are planning to bid?
There are quite a number of projects. Two specific projects which we can mention is, one is Dubai Municipality, where there is a big sewage tunnels are coming up by tunnel boring machines, where we are already pre-qualified. That's this thing in consortium with a couple of others. It's about $3.5 to $5 billion each. That is coming up by the next 3 to 4 months. And in domestic, in Maharashtra, we have the Bhayandar-Virar connectivity, which is coming up, which is about 75,000 crores of jobs split into 6 packages, GAIKA funded jobs. So that is something which is again a marine project, a marine bridge, which will be a specialist project. So there also, this is the another big project. The third big project which is coming up is the tunnel under Brahmaputra in northeast, where in Assam, that is also in the pipeline. These are some of the, there are a number of other projects. Vadhavan port is coming up with 2 projects, breakwater and desilting tank. Andaman port is coming up with projects. And there are a number of other bridge projects are in the pipeline. Okay, I'm just giving the flavor of big projects where limited the pre-qualification possibilities and others.
Okay, and anything in metro segment?
In metro segment already we have bid for indoor underground metro, we have bid for Patna underground metro, and it's on a continuous basis. Recently government has announced expansion of NCRTC, where we have done one elevated and one underground. So there is going to be a big investment coming up. It was already sanctioned long back, but now it is put into action. So that is coming up. And everywhere the expansions are taking place in the metro projects. In Bombay has announced expansion of metro, and Delhi has announced, and Chennai has announced expansion in Chennai, and also extension to Coimbatore and Madurai. So number of places metro expansions have been announced.
Okay. So we expect all the tenders with in state.
And in terms of urban infrastructure, we expect continued growth. And that is something where the government is also pushing quite a lot. And in marine, we find a good opportunity currently in the domestic market, which is not there for the last few years because of Vadhavan Port, Andaman Port and similar. And this thing in terms of surface transport, I think it will be left more to the specific state as NHA projects, as you mentioned, that it's become very crowded. Therefore, it depends on more state-specific projects, which a number of states have come up with proposals, and with the government also giving in 50-year interest-free loan, which they can use as equity towards raising funds. So that will go a long way for state-level related development. Therefore, in terms of project pipeline, we don't find much issues. That's on the domestic market. International market, as I told you, Dubai is there. Saudi, we have a focus currently. And Africa is slowly coming back, reviving back after post-COVID. That gives an opportunity to us. And some of the European markets, which you mentioned earlier as well, we have been focusing on, we are submitting our bids. So that will open up opportunities for us. All these are funded projects by multilateral institutions.
Okay. And so I wanted to clear in this work. So the numbers are on inventory, trade receivables, unbilled revenue, trade payables, and mobilization advance.
So if you are looking for number for December, so you are looking at any specific number?
So I said inventory, trade receivables, unbilled revenue, payables and mobilization advance. This number will help us to analyze the working capital.
Yeah, so trade receivables, you know, see, I'll tell you, as far as the net working capital is concerned, net working capital is still at an elevated level because we still see delays in certification of the work done and release of payments in some projects. This has led to the increased uncertified work done receivables, leading to jump in working capital requirements. Generally, this trend remains during the year, wherein bill certification and payments are not up to date. So we see the elevated working capital requirements and borrowings in Q2, Q3. And this gets sorted out by Q4, and that's what we are expecting this time around also. Now, to give you the specific numbers, the trade receivables are 3,140 crores. The inventories are 1,576 crores. Unbilled revenue is 6,134 crores. And the advances from customers is 2,383 crores.
And trade payables?
Trade payables are 4,024 crores.
4,424 crores. Okay. Yeah. That's my question. Thank you so much for the opportunity and all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh Bendre from LIC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, I heard that the guidance for next year is around 20-25% revenue growth. Is it right what I heard?
Yes, that is right.
Okay. And sir, some of our peers were indicating that there is some kind of payment delays happening from the state governments and many agencies in terms of construction projects. So, have we witnessed anything like the similar situation?
So, see, it again depends from company to company with which counterparty they are working. So, as we have in past said that we are very focused when we approach any project, and the risk management practices the company has put in place not only helps us in selecting the project, but it at times it helps to remove some of the bad projects. So we have not had a similar experience, but to mention, we also had Jal Jeevan Mission project, and there the bill certification and payment issues are there.
Okay. Sure. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Chera from Enam Holding. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Overall, good set of numbers and a very strong order intake and a very strong guidance for next year. So just a few questions. I think you mentioned in first 45 days of this quarter, you have received fresh orders of around 1,100 crores. That's the number you mentioned. I missed that number.
1,283 crores is a marine project from DP World in Gujarat.
Okay. And so you mentioned there is a 10,600 crores L1 plus this 1,200, and already our order intake for 9 months was 14,600.
Correct.
So for the entire fiscal, we would be crossing an order intake of over 25,000 crores, right, sir?
Yes, with the L1 already considered, we are already at about 27,000 crores. We do expect another one or two orders to flow into the company. With that, we will be closer to 30,000 crores.
Closer to 30,000 crores. And for FY26 order intake, you mentioned is 25,000 crores, right? That is as of now you are estimating.
Yes.
Okay. The other question was on the higher interest cost. The reason you mentioned was the client advances, now almost 75% of the advances you have to pay interest versus earlier where 75% of the advances were interest free. So has this happened on a specific segment or specific orders received now, or now this has been the general phenomena across all orders?
No, sir, this is not a general phenomena across. It actually depends that in which segment we have booked the order. So if you see the order booking we have done, generally in metro, in high speed, overseas projects are interest free. So these projects, recent past we have not backed, but as MD was explaining and Hitesh also explained that, you know, the projects we are targeting or in the pipeline are in the segments where interest free advances are available. So the percentage I have talked about is for the projects we have backed this financial year. Now, you know, as things stand, on an overall portfolio, the composition may undergo a bit change, which earlier used to be 75% interest free and 25% interest bearing. Maybe that number might be around, say, 50-50 at the moment, but with a fresh influx of orders, we are quite hopeful that we will get back to a similar situation.
Okay, so interest cost may slightly subsidize as going forward as the order mix changes.
Yes.
Right. And the last question on the accelerated depreciation. We appreciate your accelerated depreciation policy to write it up as versus the other companies in the sector. The number you mentioned was one third of the depreciation amount is still on the accelerated part on the TBM.
So what I said is, in 9 month period, we have 367 crores of total depreciation cost. Of that, around one third is towards the accelerated depreciation we have accounted.
Okay, thank you, sir, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ayush Sabo from Choice Equity Broking Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Ayush, your voice was not very clear, but what I could hear about was you wanted to understand the debt profile moving forward for the 2 years. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly.
So see, we have talked about. The company is on a year-on-year basis generating a very positive cash flow from the operations, and the orders we have bagged are quite good orders, very quality orders. So, you know, going forward, we are looking at the business generating a sufficient amount of cash flow. We'll be generating positive cash flow, and the debt on a continuous basis in terms of, say, debt equity, in terms of debt to EBITDA will keep coming down. In terms of absolute number, maybe, you know, it could be in the range what we have indicated for the year end, say around 2000 crores. but I think, you know, we should look at improvement from there going forward for a future period.
Are you sure there?
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nidhi Shah from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my question. So I wanted to ask about the L1s that we have approved over the year. So last quarter also you mentioned the L1s that were in a similar range. I wanted to know how much of the L1s that you have mentioned this quarter are carry forward from the beginning of the year, how much are new, and the ones that are carry forward from the beginning of the year, when do we expect these to convert into L1s?
At the beginning of the year, we had zero carry forward of L1. Whatever is the carry forward of the year, during the year only, and we do expect all these orders to fructify before end of the financial year. Out of couple of things could come up earlier, maybe the Rajasthan water project and the Pune Ring Road project, quite likely it could come in the month of Feb itself, and the Nagpur Gondia could come towards March. That's what is our expectation as things stand now.
Alright, and my second question would be on, if you mentioned that you would be also moving to some developed countries to begin for projects, I want to understand what the margin profile would be like in those countries. Typically what we have seen for other EPC companies is that margins are lower abroad, especially in developed countries. With the projects that you are bidding for as well, or is it okay?
See, our experience in overseas market is quite positive, and we generate very high margin in overseas market. So overseas continues to be a good margin generating segment for us, and we are quite focused working in overseas market.
Even the developed countries where you know, generally margins tend to be lower, so you are positive about those countries as well.
See, in overseas market, it's difficult to put, you know, developed and all, but we are not working in, say, a place like America, Northern America or Southern America. Those places we are not working. And the places we are working is neighboring countries. We are working in Africa, and we are targeting markets like Eastern European markets, Saudi Arabia, and some projects in Dubai.
Alright, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Parvez Qazi from Nuvama Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon everyone, and thanks for taking my question. So the first question is, sir, of our 38,000 crore order book, what is the quantum of projects where we are yet to receive the appointed date?
No,
38,000 crore is the order book which is already there in the books. Apart from that, we have another 1,300 crore, 1,283 to be precise. With that, it's about 40,000 crores pending order book, plus 10,000 and odd crores we have L1 status.
Sir, I was asking about the appointed date. I mean, for the 38,000 crore order book, have we got the notice to proceed from our clients, or are the projects already in?
All the cases, including that 1,283, we have received in all the cases notice to proceed.
Sure. The second question is, did I get it right that we expect our debt level to reduce to about 2,000 crore by the end of FY25?
Yes, that's what the target is.
Sure. And lastly, what was the capex that we have incurred in 9 months?
The capex we have incurred in the 9 months is around 250 crores.
And of that portion, what would have come in Q3?
Come again? I'm not clear on the question.
Sir, what was the capex in Q3?
In Q3, it was around 125 crores odd.
Sure, sir. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pratik Bhandari from Art Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. If you can give a sense of what typically is a bid success ratio and what is the current bid pipeline?
Yeah, so our bid success ratio is currently, I mean, it's typically in the range of 18% to 20%. And the pipeline, as I just mentioned, we have a very healthy pipeline. For around 2 year visibility, we have close to 3.4 lakh crores of pipeline spread across segments. So on the availability of projects, we don't see any challenge. And that's why the guidance is given for FY26 that we are targeting 25,000 crores of fresh order booking.
Okay. And of the total quantum of debtors you mentioned, which are 3,140 odd crores, how much of them would be 6 months, older?
So see, last time also I had explained that generally in our debtors, the number we are giving you, it's distributed in three parts. Roughly one third is one is normal receivables, which will be say around 30 to 40 days kind of normal receivables. One third is towards retention money, which we receive as per the terms of the contract, and around one third is towards arbitration debtors. Those arbitration debtors, of that around 1200 crores, we have already received around 668 crores by giving bank guarantee under the NITI Aayog guideline. But since accounting standard requires that the gross amount of arbitration receivable needs to be shown in the books as gross receivable, and the amount we have received as liability, so that's how it gets reported in the books. So to answer you, this arbitration receivable could be more than 6 months.
More than 6 months?
Yeah, older.
That one third you mentioned about the arbitration debtors, right?
Yeah, because it takes time unless those matters are settled in the court. Even though we have received say more than 50% amount we have received, but those needs to be classified as gross amount as receivable, and unless those are settled, it remains in the books, and those are generally older cases.
Okay. And what would be the quantum of contingent liabilities on the balance sheet as on December 24?
So contingent liability as on December 24 will be around 1400 crores.
1400?
Yeah.
Okay. And of this, what would be the quantum of claims?
Are you asking about the claims or the variations we have to receive from our customers?
Yes.
Or?
Hello?
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm talking about the claims. If you can give a split of this 1400 crores.
So this 1400 we have talked about is contingent liability, which is in our books. Of this, around 480 odd crores, so say close to 500 crores is towards one of the royalty claim which has been put on us. So this has been set aside by Nagpur High Court, and then the same matter, the party had gone to Bombay High Court, wherein they have actually put the case against Government of Maharashtra. So that is one item. Ideally, this should have gone up, but since they have again gone into litigation, so the amount is outstanding. Closer to 500 crores is various disputes or the claims put by our subcontractors against us. So those are around 500 crores, and close to 400 crores will be pertaining to some of the tax-related litigations we are fighting.
Okay, so 500 crores of the royalty claim and 500 crores is for the subcontractor dispute, and the remaining 400 in the form of taxes and other.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, sir. Thanks for answering my question.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Vinay Prasad from Investec. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So I had a couple of questions. The first one being on the oil and gas sector. In the previous conference call, we spoke about us having, or the industry having, presented to government and ONGCs, changing the project terms, etc. So, how is it? Any progress on that front which is made?
As of now, no, not much progress in this. Efforts are still on to get the contract methodology, contracting methodology, and the implementation of contract administration improved. And so we have been resisting from quoting to ONGC till such time they make it.
Understood. If you can share some update on Bangladesh orders, where are we? Has the execution commenced again, or we'll be dropping those orders? Where are we on that?
On Bangladesh, both the governments are insisting that we do the work, both Indian government and Bangladesh government. One particular project is in the process where we have not commenced as yet. We have conveyed earlier also. Package 3 of a road project, WP3, where they awarded the contract 19 months later than we submitted the bid, and where we said unless rate revision is done, we will not commence the work. That project is probably going towards cancellation, and that is something which will be about 600 crores, yes. About 600 crores value. So that is likely to go out. The other two projects, we are just waiting for the variations and others to be approved for doing the work. We have put a skeletal team there. We have not started the work. The government of India has started paying the money now. Hitherto they were not paying. Now they have started paying the money. Government of Bangladesh wants us to work. And we are just working around to see that in both the cases, both the railway projects and one of the road projects, both the cases, the variations have been approved and recommended by Government of Bangladesh to the Government of India, which is yet to be approved. We are just waiting for the approval to go full out on that. And in railway project, there are three parts. Path 1 has been already handed over. Path 2, they have given the land now. Path 3, they are yet to give the land. And in package 1 of this thing, road project, last 600 meters is something which they are yet to hand over to us, and there is a likelihood of discussion and settlement that 600 meter will be removed from the scope. It is already 2 years since the project deadline is completed, even extension though, but this will prolong. They are not able to acquire that part of the land because it's more crowded place. So we are working with the government, both the governments, both Government of Bangladesh and Government of India, to see if things are settled to the mutual satisfaction.
Understood. And the last question from my side. We spoke about maintaining 11% EBITDA margins. Now I understand 11% is after including other income, less of BG expenses. But we have done a lot higher, probably closer to 13% for the three consecutive quarters now in the 9 months, this quarter as well. So do you think this 11% EBITDA guidance is slightly conservative and we can still do much better? Not saying that we may still continue to deliver 13% or so, but is it slightly on the conservative side?
Our construction industry, as we keep always telling, has a lot of contingencies happening continuously. While our guidance will continue to be 11 plus, for the current year, it could be well crossing 12. And for the subsequent years or otherwise, we would say 11 plus. It could happen higher, but we would not like it to fall below 11.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhumika Nair from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Sir, on the, you spoke about the margin profile and, the interest bearing advances which has actually increased. As we move ahead, given that interest costs will kind of stay elevated because of this interest-bearing advances, would the margin profile then, what we've seen in the 9 months, actually continue to remain on the higher side, with PBT margins being more stable and the correct way to look at things?
So, what we have talked about, that even going forward, we should see improvement in our PBT margin. So, gradually, even our PBT margin should improve.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that initially the PBT margins have also improved in the 9 month period. And would that be a more correct way to look at it, as what you've seen in the 9 month to kind of sustain as we go ahead?
Yeah, so the EBITDA margin, if you see year on year, has improved, and so is PBT margin. Now, I mean, it's up to the investors or individuals how they want to look it, but generally people look at the operating margin and people also look at, say, PBT margin or a PAT margin.
Sure. So the other thing is, in terms of CapEx, you know, if you can just tell what is the status of the PGM machine, and while we've done some 200 to 250 crore of CapEx, what are we looking at for this year? And is that number, how does it look like for the next year as well?
With respect to TBM machine, at the highest level, Railway Minister had convened a meeting calling the machine manufacturers as well. We had a very good meeting. Alternatives are being attempted to bring in the machine. And while there has been a delay of a few months on account of border-related skirmishes between India and China, and the things are, I think, more or less getting resolved. Subsequent to the meeting, Foreign Secretary also visited China, all that. And I had also met the Foreign Secretary in this connection. With that, I think things should find a resolution with respect to TBM. Regarding CAPEX funding details, Ramesh will brief.
So, for this financial year, we expect to close the full CAPEX somewhere around, say, 450 to 500 crores. And this is much lesser than what we had budgeted for the year. Now, last time also we had discussed that some of the project awards got shifted. So we have aligned our CAPEX procurement in line with the project awards. And also the tunnel boring machines also got shifted to subsequent periods. So as this has reduced in this financial year, next financial year, we are looking at from, you know, the number what we had budgeted, we'll have to revise the number. So for next couple of years, we'll be having a higher number what we had budgeted earlier. But since many projects, you know, we recently have completed couple of projects, and maybe say next 6-8 months, we are also looking at completion of some of the projects. So many equipments are going to get free. So we'll recalibrate the requirement, and as things stand, we are looking at there could be a slight reduction. If we see 3 years period, you know, say 25, 26, 27, the total quantum of CAPEX what we had planned, there is a possibility that there could be some reduction in the overall CAPEX requirement. So 26 and 27 will be elevated number, but if we consider 3 years, the number will come down. The overall gross number.
Understood, sir. So just one follow-up on the TBM, given the delay in receiving it, will there be any challenges on execution of any project for which the TBM was planned, and there could be some elongated one-off project which could get impacted?
In general, the government had taken things seriously and had talked to the people, and all the projects where TBMs are involved, there have been some delays. There is also fresh initiative from Government of India jointly with Government of Germany to have a manufacturing base set up in India. The existing Chennai facility of ErikNet is being expanded. The first such TBM assembly entirely had happened in India very last week only. So therefore, there is more attempts towards indigenization of overall scheme of things. So temporarily, whatever projects which have been awarded in the last about 1 year plus, wherever TBMs are to come in, there have been some amount of delays, and the delays could impact the project to an extent. But once the TBM starts arriving and the project commences, there will be no issues. Future projects, I think people will plan accordingly. they would not like to get even some parts from China or anything to avoid such kind of delay. They will accordingly price it. That is what our belief is.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Garvit Goyal from Invest Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi. Am I audible?
Yeah, you are audible. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Congrats for decent execution in this quarter. While most of my questions are answered, I just want to get your view on, we all know, everywhere there are talks regarding the slowdown happening in the economy level in the terms of execution, but your numbers are saying a different story, right? So how are you seeing right now in Q4, the execution, the kind of execution of the kind of government demand that you are seeing in the projects, the government initiatives towards the execution of these projects?
Towards, you would have seen, highest ever order book in the history of Afcons is being achieved in the current financial year. So while everyone has talked about slowdown, and our own requirement being on a comparative scale much less, we don't find any problem. In terms of government itself, government is very focused on infrastructure development. The priorities could shift, as we told earlier also, that while probably for some time roads had been in focus for nearly 25 years, and now the focus gets shifted to railways, to hydro segment, and some of these areas. And road kind of activity is being shifted to state level development. Instead of centrally developing the roads, we are probably looking at developing the roads through the state by the state level initiatives, by special funding mechanisms to the state for the equity portion or whatever. And similarly, border related connectivity, there have been a lot of focus. And some underdeveloped states, that it does appear that there is going to be a lot of focus. And also it appears there is a significant focus on agriculture, irrigation, related infrastructure. So that would be a very, very significant river linking project, or the various levels of irrigation projects. Those are taking the proper shape. And the very fact that even with all these, the government has found a way with the tight fiscal controls also, a 10.1% increase over the revised estimate of the previous year should convey government continues focus on infrastructure. And for us, it is not only India, we are looking at overseas market as well. Therefore, that gives an opportunity in some of the markets which is opening up. And that gives an additional opportunity. Therefore, we don't believe any even perpetrated slowdown is not going to impact us in the near future. And in terms of slowdown also, there is no real slowdown. There has been a shift in segments, which in the process, which are one segment, two segment focused contractors may get impacted, but not a diversified contractor, I would put it.
Got it, sir. That is it from my side, sir. All the best for the future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Disha Shah from RR Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
No?
Yes, ma'am.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Go with the question.
Thank you for this opportunity. So I have two questions. One is, you are saying that bidding pipeline, we have of 3.5 lakh crore. Could you please highlight that, will it be just domestic or it will include in domestic and international both? And if so, could we have a split of it in terms of percentage?
Yeah, so it includes both domestic and overseas. And close to 30% of this is overseas and 70% is domestic out of the 3.46 lakh crore I have mentioned.
Okay, thank you. So my second question would be, out of the current order book of around 38,000 CR, how much percentage is under completion stage which we can recognize as revenue in the near future, say for next 2-3 fiscal years?
So see, as far as revenue recognition is concerned, the revenue recognition happens on a percentage completion basis, and as per the accounting standards prescribed under Ind AS 116, we recognize the revenue. So of this 38,000, if you know, if you are looking at what percentage should get completed over a period of time, so our average execution period is anywhere around say 2.5 years. So that should give you an idea what we are talking about.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Thank you so much, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as that was the last question for the day, I now hand the contents over to Mr. Vinod Prasad for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Muskan. I would like to thank the management team of Afcons for giving us a chance to host the call. Thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Sir, would you have any closing remarks?
We would only like to say that Afcons continues to hold its value. We continue to do a strong, technologically complex and innovation-led project. And it would not be out of place to say that in terms of construction technology, we could well be the leader. And Afcons will continue to focus the way in which we are focusing on the risk management framework and knowledge management, which helps the company to grow significantly. And we believe that we are poised for a continued growth for the next few years at, as advised earlier, 15 to 16% CAGR over the next few years, as we had achieved a similar number over the last 10 years. And in terms of EBITDA, you would have seen we have been consistently improving. While our general guidance is 11+%, we look forward to continued improvement in the areas to come. And we would continue to operate as a transnational operator. And we look forward to staying invested with us over a longer period of time to gain full value. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Investec Capital Services India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.